coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the first letter of Peter. Each letter has an author and is addressed to someone. In the present case, in the very opening of the letter, the author identifies himself, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter was a fisherman by trade. Jesus called Peter to be one of the 12 apostles. He is mentioned several times in the four Gospels, and notably in the book of Acts. Peter guided the earliest meetings of the apostles, preached to crowds in Jerusalem, and healed the sick. Peter valued his Jewish heritage, but in spite of this, God used him to affirm the faith of the Samaritans and to proclaim the gospel among the Gentiles. He suffered imprisonment and, according to tradition, was crucified upside down in Rome. His life and letters show his extraordinary faith in Jesus and what great things God can do through a humble fisherman. At some point before the year 67 AD, while Peter was in Babylon, he wrote his first letter, addressed to Christians from Jewish and Gentile background, scattered throughout Asia Minor. The aim of Peter was to instruct and encourage God's people while they endured suffering for the sake of righteousness. God's grace shines bright in the apostle's letter, as we will note in the coming studies. Let's turn now to the text of the letter as such. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we read as follows. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. The author of the letter is Peter, originally known as Simon. Although a humble fisherman, Jesus called Peter to follow him and made of him an apostle. As an apostle, he was sent by Jesus Christ to proclaim the word of God. Peter was an important eyewitness to the truth of the gospel. Peter addresses the letter to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion. Christians are described as elect, or chosen by God's grace for salvation, and to be in union with Christ, who himself is God's chosen one. Christians are exiles or strangers, temporarily residing on earth, for their true home is in heaven. The Christians to whom Peter wrote were in dispersion, that is, they were Jewish and Gentile believers scattered beyond the land of Israel. Several places where they lived are named: Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Those places were part of Asia Minor. Speaking to his readers, Peter states that Christians are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. God knew us before we had any knowledge of him. Besides, he also chose us by his grace before the foundation of the world. As his chosen ones, the Holy Spirit worked sanctification in us, that is, he called us from sin to faith, to holiness, and to good works. Jesus Christ sprinkled us with his blood shed on the cross, so that purified and sanctified we may be obedient to our Savior. Peter wishes that God's grace and peace be multiplied to his readers. May grace and peace be multiplied also to you, dear listener. After the opening greeting, the apostle writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, the following. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The expression blessed means in this context praised. God deserves all praise for what he is and for what he has done and for what he continues to do. Peter praises God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is God praised? Because according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In holy baptism and through the gospel, we have been born again. We have been converted to Jesus, given faith and a new life in Christ. In this new life, we have been born to a living hope. Hope is not only a pious wish, but a firm conviction based on a solid promise of God. This hope gives life. What is the guarantee that our hope is not in vain? The guarantee is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He died and was buried. However, on the third day he rose again. His resurrection confirms his promise to raise us from the graves. His resurrection confirms his promise to grant eternal life to all who believe in him. His resurrection confirms his promise to grant believers an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven. Earthly treasures and material inheritances perish. They are faulty and fade away. The inheritance kept in heaven for us, nonetheless, is secure and eternal. Nothing in this world can take our inheritance from us. The reformer Martin Luther says, "This blessing, that is the inheritance, is ours forever and ever, even though we do not see it now. On earth no pleasure is so great that it does not become unpleasant as time goes on. We see that one becomes weary of everything. But his blessing is different. All this is ours in Christ, by God's mercy, if we believe." So far the words of Martin Luther. The imperishable, undefiled, and unfading inheritance will be given to those who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. God promises to keep us in the faith he created and by which we are saved. By salvation is meant deliverance from sin and death to live with God forever. God promised that salvation will be fully revealed on Judgment Day, when believers will be granted by grace their inheritance. The promise of salvation and the promise of receiving an inheritance are great reasons for us to rejoice, even in the midst of trials, sorrow, and suffering. The readers of Peter's letter face trouble in their lives. So do we. To a lesser or greater degree, every Christian is struck by trials. We face situations in which our faith is tested. Temptations come from the world, the devil, and our own human nature. Though we should not seek out trials, we should be ready to face them in faith with God's power. Peter reminds us that the trials play an important role in our lives and have a vital purpose for our faith. Like gold is tested and purified by fire, so the genuineness of our faith is tested by trials. As the true character of gold is seen in a refiner's fire, so faith's true character is revealed when tested. The reformer Martin Luther comments on this, saying, "All scripture compares temptation to fire. Thus here St. Peter also likens the gold that is tested by fire to the testing of faith by temptation and suffering. Fire does not impair the quality of gold, but it purifies it, so that all alloy is removed. Thus God has imposed the cross on all Christians, to cleanse and to purge them well, in order that faith may remain pure, just as the Word is, so that one adheres to the Word alone and relies on nothing else. For we really need such purging and affliction every day, because of the coarse old Adam." So far the words of Martin Luther. At the end, all trials and suffering a Christian endures result in praise and honor to God on the day when He will come to judge the living and the dead. Peter also makes some impressive statements about our relationship with Christ. He says, "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. We are not eyewitnesses of Jesus, but through faith we believe in Him and love Him. Our eyes will see Him on the last day, but even now we encounter Christ through His Word and sacraments as He gives us saving faith, forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. This moves us to rejoice and to be glad while we look forward to the outcome of our faith, namely the salvation of our souls." Peter continues to write in his first letter, chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours, searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you, and the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. The main theme in the Old Testament is the promise of the Messiah and the salvation He provides. The prophets proclaimed the salvation through God's grace. The prophets searched and inquired carefully about the Messiah. They sought knowledge of the coming Messiah. What they longed to know has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit revealed to the prophets that the Christ would suffer, die, and gloriously be raised from the grave. Later, in New Testament times, this same gospel has been revealed by the Holy Spirit to the apostles. The apostles preached the gospel, and the Christian Church continues to proclaim Jesus Christ and the salvation He won for sinners. Having said that, Peter encourages his readers and us to live out the Christian faith. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 25 as follows. "Therefore, preparing your minds for action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through faith are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Peter speaks about the daily Christian life, urging believers to prepare their minds for action and being sober-minded. This is a graphic call for action. In the language of the first century, it meant that the reader should literally gather up his long flowing garments and be ready for physical action. How do Christians prepare for action? The apostle answers, "Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Due to God's grace, we have been given faith in Jesus Christ and made children of God. The same grace sustains us in the faith and enables us to live as obedient children of God. Formerly, we have not been children of God and lived in ignorance following the passions of our natural and sinful human nature. But now, having been given faith and having been adopted into God's family, we fight our sinful passions and make every effort to live in a manner pleasing to God." The apostle reminds us that God who called us is holy, that is, in him there is no error, no fault. He is spotless, sinless. This our holy God, who through the gospel and by his grace called us to faith, also calls us to be like him, that is, holy in all our conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." To be holy is to be set apart from sin and impurity, and set apart to God. It is true that we continue to be sinners, but at the same time we are justified by Christ, declared righteous, absolved from our sins. God now empowers us to strive against sin. God is our Father. We address him confidently as our true Father, and trust in him as our dear Father. Being our Father, God judges impartially according to our deeds. God does not have some favorite children and others whom he neglects or despises. He is impartial and is perfectly just. Therefore, we shall conduct ourselves with fear throughout the time of our exile. To fear God does not mean to be terrified, but to be reverent and respectful, to have a humble awareness of our place before God. So we shall fear God throughout the time of our exile. What does the apostle mean by exile? He means the time we are living in this world, which is temporary. Our true and definite home is in heaven. Then the apostle leads us back to the core of the Christian doctrine and Christian faith. He says that we shall live a holy life, since we were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from our forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Like a person taken captive by criminals is set free by the payment of a ransom, so we sinners by birth entrapped in sin have been freed thanks to the ransom paid by Jesus Christ. He did not pay the ransom with silver or gold, but with the precious blood he shed on the cross. He offered his life as a sacrifice for us, like a lamb without blemish or spot. This plan of ransoming us has been planned by God before the foundation of the world. The same plan of salvation was made manifest, particularly when Jesus came into this world, died, and was raised from the dead. God's plan of salvation will culminate on the last day, when Jesus will come in glory to judge the living and the dead. This is our faith, and this is our hope. While we carry on our daily vocations in hope of the life to come, we are encouraged to love one another earnestly from a pure heart. God's living and abiding Word has prepared us to love our neighbors. Our lives in this world are brief, and we are like grass that fades away, and our glory is fleeting. In contrast, the Word of the Lord remains forever. This changeless and eternal Word of God has revealed to us the Savior Jesus Christ. Through this changeless and eternal Word of God, the Holy Spirit has given us faith in Jesus, has given us a new birth, and has made us children of God. This changeless and eternal Word of God empowers us to be obedient children of God, to fight sin, and to love our neighbors. This changeless and eternal Word of God keeps us in the hope of eternal life with our Heavenly Father. These good news were preached to the people in Asia Minor. These good news are brought to you. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.